shepherd.
So as you may have noticed, the reading this morning was not actually from a UU source. Benjamin Whichcote was the provost of King's College in Cambridge in England for 16 years in the mid-17th century. Last month, I was blessed to spend a week in Cambridge celebrating my little sister's graduation from college. And while I was there, I was able to attend a service at King's College in which that prayer was read. The chapel at King's College is famous for its very formal, ornate Anglican services, particularly on holidays. For the last 20 years, I've listened to the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, which is broadcast from King's College every Christmas Eve. And every year, I've wondered what it looks like inside and imagined these huge stone pillars and stained glass rising above the singers. The chapel, when you look at its history, was finished over 500 years ago as a monument, they said, to the glory of God, but also probably a little bit to its very rich patron, King Henry VIII. King's Chapel, in fact. It's a long rectangle. It's vaulted throughout the entire roof. And as soon as you walk up, your eyes are drawn up by this amazing architecture and stained glass going all the way to the ceiling, describing lessons and moments from the Bible, from Jesus and the prophets. It's an awe-inspiring sight. It was built and is a monument to the faith of its builders and to the students and countless worshipers and frankly tourists who have been there over the last 500 years. The reading, though, was from a service that I attended there. It struck me as a surprisingly Unitarian sentiment, calling for to the light of truth and the help of grace. And it was coming from as Anglican a source as the Reformation Provost of Kings. After the service was over, I went up to the vicar, introduced myself, and asked if I might be able to get a copy of the prayer he used, because I was, in fact, writing a sermon for when I got back to the States. I told him a bit about myself, about our congregation here in Baltimore, and what life was like as a young seminarian in Washington, D.C. Before long, we were deep in conversation about the unique challenges of a place like King's. While it's undoubtedly beautiful inside, and a place of pilgrimage for Christians from around the world, as well as a few tourists like myself, King's is a working church. The vicar I spoke with was adamant that his job, more than anything else, was to resist the temptation to allow King's to be a kind of museum, a place for people to come and ooh and ah at the centuries-old architecture. Instead, he argued, King's must be maintained both as a house of worship and a force for good in the wider community that is Cambridge. I spent 2 weeks in England and Scotland, and I must have seen dozens of churches with similar problems. Beautiful old buildings in amazing city centers, struggling to be a little bit more than the cathedral that the guidebook says we should visit because a famous person is buried there. While I was on that trip, and since I've gotten home from it, I've thought a lot about David's call for us to be a cathedral church in Baltimore, to be a center for Unitarian Universalism in Maryland and in our district. Well, cathedrals are a strange word in the UU context. It seems antithetical to our very nature as a non-creedal democratic faith. In fact, the word cathedral comes from cathedra, which is the seat that a bishop sits in. It's literally a throne. So we can't really have cathedrals. We don't have bishops. We're an association of independent congregations. So, but traditionally, a cathedral is a church which houses a bishop, a center of power, both spiritual and temporal. And yet, we know that that's not everything that a cathedral is. In Europe, cathedrals are often museums, vast, beautiful buildings built for a faith that's now largely abandoned by the people in the cities that they serve. Certainly part of the cultural heritage of the city, but no longer vibrant communities. Forrest Church, though, the famous Unitarian Universalist theologian of the last century, actually used the metaphor of a cathedral of the world to describe his idea of Unitarian theology. "There is one reality or truth," he wrote, "and this reality shines through every window in the cathedral of the world and out from every perceiving subject. It is never perceived directly, yet it is reflected and refracted in a myriad of meaningful patterns on the floor of the cathedral and by every perceiver. Thus, every window illuminates truth in a different way, leading to many different truths." My father, somewhat more practically, would describe his cathedral as the upstate New York woods in winter, and the whole world seems hushed and reverent, as if it's sitting in awe of itself. So what then do we make of this cathedral church that we've been called to build in Baltimore? To be sure, we do have an imposing, beautiful building in the heart of one of the greatest cities in the world. Surely, though, we aspire to be more than the empty cathedrals that I walked through last month, more than the stone and glass in our sanctuary. Cathedrals, to me, have always been massive, visible acts of witness. King's College, along with so many churches and cathedrals across Britain and the world, has a plaque dedicating the building Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. To the people who built it, it was a concrete, visible sign of their dedication to their faith and the lengths that they would go to for it. More than just stones, I believe our cathedral is a living witness to our faith. I do want to make a quick digression. One thing that I've noticed over the last year as I've started seminary is that we UUs have in some ways lost the language of witness to describe how we act in the world. Witnessing to many of my classmates in seminary is a profound act of declaring to the world, "This is what I know to be true. This is how it calls me to act," regardless of what the world says in return. In fact, one of my professors pointed out at length that in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, which I never thought I would quote in a UU sermon, the original Greek meaning or context of the word martyr, which has so much baggage now, is actually, in the Greek, it's more like a witness at a legal trial. It's someone who comes before the community and says, "This is what I know to be true. This is what I've seen." How that meaning was turned into the contemporary form of martyr is somewhat beyond the realm of this sermon, but hopefully we'll get there at some point. And UUs, well, certainly I, have not always drawn a clear line between what we do on Sunday morning and what we do the rest of the week. We do social justice work, sure, even through the church. But when we're out in the community, how many of us answer when we're asked why we're helping? "Because I know that we're all part of an interconnected web of existence, and what's good for my sister is good for all of us." So what would our cathedral look then, as the culmination of all our acts of witnessing, if we were explicit about what we were doing in the world? What would be our legacy? What would be the great witness to our faith, witness to those things that we believe that bring us here? Every time, I believe, every time we as members of this church work with one of our new partners to combat homelessness in the city, we're witnessing. Every time we go to a bridge meeting, building connections across racial, class, religious lines that divide this city, I believe we are witnessing. Every time we go to Annapolis to stand with our transgender brothers or sisters, we are witnessing. Every time we say enough to a culture of violence that stands by while children are killed in their schools, in a neighborhood in Florida, we are witnessing. Each of these acts and more build on each other until in the end we have built a towering cathedral, a towering witness to what we believe. Bells ring that we are all in this together, and regardless of who you are or what you believe, you're welcome here. You're welcome at this table. King's College Chapel is a beautiful old building. First Unitarian is a beautiful old building. Like the vicar at King's, though, we have to work to make sure that this is more than just an old, beautiful museum piece. The front of our building looks as much like a cathedral as anything Unitarian Universalism has. But I don't think that's actually the cathedral that we're building. Our cathedral is our work, with each other and in the wider community. Each time we act in the community witnessing to our faith, we build it a little stronger, a little deeper, a little higher, rather than a magnificent edifice to the glory of God. Our cathedral is within ourselves, a light illuminating the beauty in all of us. Blessed be.